Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. On my trilogy adventures, the one thing, and many of you already know about me, my passion is fishing, but guess what? It just gets me into the outdoors. So I spoke to my great friend Inspector Dave and said, let's get out and fish for some early spring trout. Well, they stock during the day, and you can't fish till 5 p.m. So I said, well, typically we'd be fishing in the mornings, get up early in the morning, and we're out. I said, why don't we go fishing on a late afternoon? So we found a late afternoon on the Rockaway River, get out there. We head out to our favorite spot. I'm just going to give you a little hint here. It's next to a beautiful waterfalls. We pull up, and we got there about 3:30 because you can't fish till 5. We get there about 3:30, and the place is packed with more trucks and cars and fishermen and women than I've, no joke, than I've ever seen before. So we said, okay, let's head down to the bridge. Go down by the bridge. There is more cars than trucks than I've ever seen before. So we know of this little dirt road that leads to the back of the river. And, I mean, you need a truck to get in there. So we, being manly men, take the truck and we head down there. And we get down there and there's just one truck. Oh, and yes, the angels were singing all that. And just an old, see, if you live by the ocean and you're an old man and you're fishing, they call them old salts. Well, I've coined the term for old guys, of which I will be someday, old guys near freshwater, I call them old freshies. So there was an old freshie down there. Fresh, definitely not. He was just a kind man. And we're chatting, and he was telling me he was down there when the truck dropped off the fish, and just a little few things about it. But you see, once again, fishing is my passion that gets me into the outdoors. Because as soon as we get out of the truck to talk to the old freshie, you could hear this chorus of spring peepers. And for those of you that don't know, spring peepers are one of the first frogs that are henceforth spring peepers are calling during the mating ritual. And they were just calling all over. I mean, it was really, really cool. And one of my favorite flowers is a trout lily. And I am telling you, the forest floor, see, this is how cool nature is. The leaves on the trees aren't there yet, so the sun's shining through, so things can actually flower and reproduce before the leaves are there, the trout lily being one of them. And there was a carpet. Oh, because once again, I am always taking photos, and you could check out my photos on my Joey B Outdoors Twitter, and then I'm on Tumblr, Twitter, Flickr, all these different Facebook, all these different places. But I always put a photo of the day of where we are, where we're filming, and I took a couple photos of those trout lilies. Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, we went toward the river, and there were two other freshies there. And those two other freshies, we began to chat with them for a little bit. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Well, those two old freshies, they were going to be using live bait. You see, I am primarily, so is Inspector Dave, we are fly fishermen. There was a real reason why I was at the river. You see, over the wintertime, I've been developing prototype spin lures. And so I was going to take out my spin rod for a little bit, maybe stuck with it today. And I just wanted to see the propulsion of my lure in the water. Hey, if I caught fish, there's a bonus inside of there. Well, it was the first trial. And I'm going to say this, that the old freshies, the two that were already near the river, not the first old freshie, but the other two, as 5 o'clock approached, these guys just kept trudging through the water. Like they're walking straight through the water that we're trying to fish in. I mean, they've got live bait and it's almost like they want to just reach out and just put it on a fish's nose and say, catch it. Well, this reminded me of when I first got into fly fishing, I was on a fly only section of a river. And, you know, growing up, hey, I was a spin guy, and hey, nothing wrong with being a spin guy, but I was a spin guy, and yeah, me personally, I was like these old freshies. I'd be in the middle of the river and moving around. So I am with my fly rod, and I am standing in my chest waders, pretty close to up to my chest in the river. And an old freshy fly guy says to me from the bank, he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm fishing. He says, come here. So I get out of the water, take my time, get out of there. And the man says to me, so why are you standing in the river where the fish are? And he says, you fish from shore, and then if you have to work yourself into the water, you do. And I'm going to let you know that as my life has gone on now, I mean, I have waders. I actually have waist waders. I have chest waders too, but the waist waders are the ones I wear all the time because I barely ever step into the water. Just a little something that was going on. Now, being the environmental scientist, something catches my eye back on the river. Hey, guess what? We're back on the river in this trilogy. And I could see the banks were really steep on this curve. And as the river bent right there where we were going to go in, this is where they stopped the trout, because you could always see the truck tires, so you know where they are stocking. They don't go far from the truck when they're doing their stockings there. And I am going to tell you that this was totally eroded on the V-Max side, the outside curve. And so here I am. Again, I'm at the river. I want to fish, but I'm seeing all these just nature-y things going on. So now, as 5 o'clock rolled around and I began to, I guess, cast in between, there was lots of space there, the old freshies, and I'm just checking out my lure and, hey, trying to catch fish too, I'll be honest, but I really wanted to see the propulsion of that lure. Inspector Dave, as usual, in a good way, goes and gets lost. So he wants to get away from the people, which typically, if I can, I would too, but I wanted to see this lure. And you know, the water where I was at was pretty clear. Well, he's gone and he heads himself to the back part of this river where it bends a few times. And it is a peaceful and tranquil place. And I've been here before a few times. So after a few casts here and there, lure working well, by the way, I actually head back. And as I'm heading back to go catch up with Inspector Dave, there's all these little vernal pools. And I've got to stop because now there are polywogs, baby frogs. There are polywogs throughout all the vernal pools. Whether they're spring peepers, probably so. So it was really, really neat to see that, you know, again, that little piece of, you know, what's going on there. So we fish for a little bit more, not onto any fish, enjoying the day. Hey, when you go fishing, you only fish with the people you want to be with. And that's a pretty cool deal. And Dave and I are close friends. So our properties are not far from each other. So we're always organic gardening, helping each other out, fishing together, great conversation, sitting by the firehouse. I go all of that. His wife, Diane, will head on by. Sit out with a glass of wine. Just real, real enjoyable times. So we sit out in the tail of his truck, and we're going to sit down and have dinner. So we pray over the meal, have a little dinner, have a little conversation. And while we're having that conversation, it's getting toward twilight, just about there, and a great blue heron comes flying up. And if you don't know this, great blues, which are monstrous birds, flies up about 50 feet from us into a tree, and he's going to roost there for the night. So once again, grab my camera. See, being in the outdoors today has nothing to do with fishing, even though it has everything to do with fishing, but my camera, I took trout lilies and so on. So I was able to get that. But it was back to the river for one last look, one last cast. I got a couple casts in, and then we were there. Now, it's a good thing Dave drove, because my truck is already loaded for my adventure tomorrow morning. See, this is Trilogy Adventures. My alarm is set for 4 a.m. And like a little kid, and I'm sure most of you know this, I am up way before. Like when you're going to fish, you just keep waking up and waking up. It's like, it is the excitement about being there. So my sit-on-top kayak is in the bed of my pickup, the Joey B. Mobile. I also have my paddle, my PFD, my personal flotation device. And for those of you old freshies and old salts out there, it's a life vest. And I've got my water shoes. I have warm gear prepped. I wake up and the temp is 49 degrees F. And when we get out there, because the sun won't be up at this juncture, it will be cool out there. And I pick up my schoolie rod. And schoolies are smaller, I can't call them babies, but they're smaller striped bass, and we're headed out for a little schoolies. So we head to the Barge Park launch. I meet with one of my also, see, this trilogy is pretty cool. I meet with one of my best friends, again, Coach Gorski. Coach Gorski is the best striper fisherman I know. When I head up to Cape Cod and he's always up there fishing, when I head up there, he is my guide. He knows where the fish are at. He knows what the fish are feeding on, and he's got the lures, and most of the lures he's prepping, not even most, all the lures he's prepping himself. So part of this trilogy, think about this. It's not about fishing. We get on the water, and I am actually, I don't care about fishing at this juncture. I am there with my camera shooting the sunrise on the water. There is nothing better than this. And I'm going to be honest. You know, so many people, they see sunsets. Do you get up, and I happen to be the morning person, the farm boy, do you get up and see those sunrises and taking photos? I mean, you're in a kayak on a river and the sun is rising. There is nothing better. Now, we were there to catch fish, but we were there because, again, when you get a paddle in, you get a workout. Well, we hit the strong outgoing tide. So we were just trying to time sunrise, and we just said, well, it doesn't matter the tide. Well, I am going to let you know that it was a tough workout. We paddled for 2 hours against the tide, and I am letting you know that we would fish. It would just send us rocketing down as we're fishing, rocketing down the river, paddle all the way back up, and bang. And we just continue to do this because if we didn't stop like paddling back up, we probably would have been in the Atlantic Ocean, and we were miles up, so we would have been washed out to sea at that. Well, during this 2 hours of the battle of the tides and the battles of trying to catch a schoolie, it was cormorant heaven. There were cormorants absolutely everywhere. I mean, hey, there were some other birds you're looking at, so many different types of diving ducks and all this, but cormorants. And I saw something that I never saw before. There was a cormorant, I'd say about 50 feet in front of me, and he was taking off from the water. And as he was taking off, two other cormorants together flew right above his head. So the one that was coming off the water was maybe about 6 feet, approximately, about 6 feet above the water. And the other two are flying, I don't know, 10 feet above. And the one that was 6 feet above the water, it was like he was shot. He went, doop. He just stopped flapping and just fell straight into the water and went right underwater. So it was, I guess, his way of protecting himself, I guess, against getting hit airily by another cormorant. Was it a little bit of the two coming over showing dominance? Don't know, but I never saw one just drop out of the air like that. Pretty cool to see. So we're out there, and I'm looking for schoolies, but there is a fox. He's on the hunt on the shore. I mean, hey, fishing is my passion, but there's a reason why I go to the outdoors. And then I go down a little bit, because obviously the current's taking me down there, and a red-tail hawk catches a mouse on the riverbank. And I watch him for a few seconds, so I'm fishing and moving quite rapidly. I've got my underwater camera with me, so obviously I'm taking a few photos. And you could always tweet me, and many of you do, tweet me some comments, or some of you have questions. Some of you, people say, hey, you were talking about this. Can you expand on a show? And yeah, we do. So you can always go to Joey B, J-O-E-Y-B-E, Outdoors. Now, while I'm fishing there, we're going under a huge trestle. And just before it, a schoolie hits my rod. Bang. And I'm going to tell you, when a striped bass hits, it is like the fish has never eaten before. And bang, the rod bends over and is schoolie, and the battle is on. And again, I use a pretty light rod for my schoolie fishing because I want to feel that battle. And it is just great. And I'm getting towed around in my kayak by this little schoolie up at Cape Cod. I'm going to tell you right now, I'll call them large schoolies, small striped bass. And I have gotten towed for like, you know, hundreds of yards by schoolies in a kayak. So these guys here, besides hitting, when they hit the lure, they are hitting it so hard. I mean, it's like I said, never eaten before. And then tow you around for a little bit. Well, this schoolie was important because Coach came paddling over and he goes, I can't believe it. He says, this is the first year that someone I'm fishing with has caught a striped bass before I did. And I'm going, yeah. And you see, Coach keeps a tally because we're catch and release guys. We release everything back into the wild. And Coach keeps a tally when he heads up to Cape Cod. He does a, a month in May, June, somewhere in there. He cuts a month out of, I guess, both when the stripers are up there. And Coach will catch over 600 fish. I'm no joke, over 600 fish every year that he goes up there. Because, I mean, he just lives to fish. And I beat him. So, hey, guess what? I got bragging rights, at least for this year. Well, it is now time for us to turn around, begin our paddle back up river. It's slack tide. So we go, all right, we're going to have an easy time paddling back up, get into our launch point. And the wind over that last hour had picked up. And now the tide isn't against us. The wind is against us. And there's white caps on the water. So first we paddle for 2 hours against the tide. And now we're going to paddle for 2 hours and fish a little bit against the wind. Maybe I should write a song called Against the Wind. Oh, that's right. Bob Seger already wrote that song, Against the Wind. Hey, I tried on that one, but I guess it can't. Well, I'm going to let you know that that one was a great workout. Hey, caught a schoolie. Coach got skunked in this one, but I'm going to tell you, for him, that's real rare. But it wasn't about, it was about being with your friend. It was about seeing that cormorant out there, the fox, the red tail, like all of those things that go on there. And that great workout. I'll tell you, I was a bit tired, but I had to get home because remember, this is Trilogy Adventures, and we are ready for the third leg of the trilogy. Now, I had to gather my camera gear because we are going out to the Cecil Horse Farm, and we are going to film a Joey B's Outdoor Adventure episode on a rescued horse and a gal named Amanda. And then we're going to record a podcast show there. And you know what? I'm going to tell you all, you know what? I'm not going to tell you anything about it now because you're going to get to hear the Joey B horse rescue story on a podcast show. And you're going to get to watch, once my editors get to it, watch the Joey B's Outdoor Adventure about it. So I'm going to let you know that it was about getting home, charging the batteries and backup batteries. Because when you have camera gear, you have to get tons of batteries and backup for all that gear and boom mics and all that stuff that go on. So I then got my camera gear loaded, my freshwater fishing gear reloaded, and I was off to the horse farm. And you see, the horse farm that I was going to film on was right down the road from one of my favorite trout creeks. Ah. So I meet the horse trainer, a young gal who trains the rescue horse, and I'll tell you more of that on the Great Horse Rescue Show. But hey, great time on the farm because that brings me back home, as I always say. And then it was off to the creek. And I get to the creek. And on the creek, there are two good old freshies. And I've met these two old freshies before at Creekside. And these guys are the real deal. Just nice, pleasant, not trudging through the water. And, you know, they're still using some live bait, some worms, some mealworms, things like that. And every now and then, one of them will have like a little trout magnet. That's actually a little bait that you put on there. Now, this is a typical fly fishing days, but I needed to continue the testing of that prototype spin lure. So I wanted to get onto the river, fish for a little bit, check out before I got into the fly rod to check out that spin. And once again, testing the movement of it. And I'm going to let you know that for the first few casts, a trout would follow it all the way back to, actually right to my feet. I'm standing at the edge of the creek. So here's one of the common mistakes that many spin fishermen do. So if you're a rookie out there, actually, if you're an expert out there, here's just that great tip. If you're fishing and you're reeling in and the fish are following it, they're following it, but there's not that strike response. Remember, they're predators, and you need to either speed up the spin or slow it down. So your retrieve needs to, so you need to vary. And once you figure out what it is that they're looking for, you will get the strike from it. Well, my whole deal that day was to test that prototype. And I'm not joking. I wasn't interested in catching a fish. I was interested in, and I knew that, hey, they were liking that lure. And you'll hear more about it in the fall because that's when the Joey B prototype lures become, because we're going to be testing for months. You will be able to purchase those lures. But hey, we'll talk more of that about that on another show. So I'm out there, catch and release guy, and not catch anything, so it's time for me to put that spin down. But I'm watching now. One of the old freshies leaves, and the other old freshie leaves, and a dad and his son are in there. And the son, about 11, 12 years old, somewhere around there, and he's a pretty good fisherman. And he's got on a spin lure, and the young boy is getting on to some trout, and he's catching one, catching another one. And every time he's catching it, he's bringing it up to shore and pulling him out of the water. And the father's going, don't leave him in the water, because he was going to release him. Leave him in the water, because once you take him out of the water, they start flopping around, easier to release them, and less harm to the fish. And dad teach, hey, by the way, I am not opposed to anyone taking a fish after you catch him, but I am very much that catch and release. Let him grow up and be mommies and daddies and grow up to be big boys and girls. So that's my take on it. Well, the dad was standing on the corner of the creek, pile of rocks, and something happened that, hey, you know when something happens to someone else, and it's funny, if it happened to you, it would not be funny, but it happened to him. So the little guy catches his third fish, reeling it in, and starts to pull it out of the water. And the father goes, no, and reaches over from the rocks, and he falls face first. He face plants into the river. And I am telling you, really cool. Not that he face planted. The son was so concerned for dad. And now that dad got wet, he's going, dad, are you okay? And the father gets up a little bit embarrassed. And I said to him in a nice way, and I really meant it. I go, hey, what happened to you is just what happened to all of us sometime in our lives. And there was one time Inspector Dave and I, because no joke, I had never in my whole life fallen into the river. So we get out on a January day. So by us, there typically are some real big snows, deep snows around. And it was a January day where the snows had gone. We're out on the river. On the bottom of my wader boots, I've got these little metal studs. So I'm with the fly rod and I cast. And I just turn and my wader boot got, the studs got stuck in the rock. And I'm telling you, it just shifted my weight. And I'm just trying to pull out. But while it shifted my weight, my boot was stuck. And I was leaned over towards the river. And in slow motion, you know when something is happening and you just know it's going to happen? So I'm battling, but my weight is going. And in slow motion in my mind, I'm going, no, Joey. And I am in the river. And let me tell you, this guy fell in the river in late April. I fell in January. It's a good thing in my truck I always have changes of clothes and towels. I bring a lot of that gear for my friends because they fall in, not me, of course. That day I absolutely I needed that one. So now it was time. That guy gets out and dries himself off. And to his credit, he went back and he stayed with his boy and he caught a few more fish and all that. But lunch for me. So now it's the perfect time to have a little lunch, to get rid of the spin gear and become the fly man that I am. And when I get back to the river, I get back to the river after lunch because, hey, me and food, we go. Personal friend of mine. So on this trilogy, it's just me and the river and a few people that you meet along there. And I meet a young high school guy who is his spring break, and he's out there. And I'm going to tell you, over the corner of my eye on the river behind me, two blue-winged teals take off. And as they take off, that kid shouts it out. And I'm like, I was pretty impressed. Like, he knew what they were. So we're having a conversation. And in our conversation, I found out that his dad is a game warden. So, so you learned a lot. He goes, yeah, I've been fishing this creek my whole life. And went up the road, creek. And he's talking about fishing. But then he's talking about nature. And as he's talking about nature, I go, you're really knowledgeable. I said, what year are you in? He goes, I'm a senior. I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm going to be going to college to become an environmental scientist. Well, obviously, the big old smile on my face sort of tells who I am. So I said, by the way, I'm an environmental scientist. And I said, I'm graduate of Rutgers. He goes, I'm thinking about Rutgers. My dad graduated from Rutgers. So we're having this great conversation. And he's one of the first people I've ever seen this. He had a spin rod, but he had all fly lures. And he was using fly lures, or flies, we call them, flies, on his spin rod, and it was pretty neat. And he says, I fly fish all the time. He says, I just wanted to try this. And pretty neat to watch him do that. So I was really impressed with the conversation. And I know this, you know what? When you meet someone and you know that they are headed in the right direction in life, this young man knew where he was going. So now he leaves. One of his buddies was actually above the bridge there where we were fishing, didn't fish, and they're gone. So after lunch, I'm back with the fly rod. So now it's just a fly rod, me, the river. And now it is about serenity. You see, fishing is my passion, but it gets me into the outdoors. And I'm a catch and release guy, so the serenity. And I am now into a number of trout, and I really don't count. I'm going to say I caught 8, 9, 10. I have no idea because I catch and release and catch and release and catch and release. And this is how the adventure should end. And this is how the trilogy adventure should end. There's peace. There's tranquility. It's time for me to get into the Joey B Mobile, my truck, to head back home to recharge, to prep some shows, and then get out and do it all over again. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.